Thank you very much. Thank you. I can't tell you how very much I appreciate this most cordial Chicago welcome. No city in the world can equal that. It's a real pleasure to be here with the people of Illinois. One of the reasons for my special fondness for this great state is the memory of a man who was your last great governor, a distinguished Democrat, and my friend. I refer, of course, to that great governor, Henry Horner. I want the people of Illinois, I hope that the people of Illinois will do all they can to bring back the same high ideals of government that he so well represented in electing as your governor, my good friend Adlai Stevenson. And if Illinois is to be properly represented in Washington, you'll want to elect to the Senate that able and outstanding liberal Paul Douglas. While you're doing that, you might just as well elect a whole Democratic ticket here in Illinois. On Wednesday, you're going to pay tribute to Governor Horner's memory at the unveiling of a monument in Grant Park. I've always had the utmost admiration for Governor Horner, who was truly a great humanitarian. Racial and religious prejudice were unknown to him. He truly believed in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I sincerely regret that my schedule does not permit me to be present. You can be sure, however, that I'll be here in spirit. It certainly is inspiring to recall that in this hall, 16 years ago, the Democratic Party gave the nation our great leader, Franklin D. Roosevelt. When I think of Chicago, I can never forget that 4 years ago, the Democratic Party honored me with a nomination for Vice President of the United States right here in this hall. It took 13 policemen to get me from the back of the hall up here to the platform. Tonight, it took about 330. We've passed through many stormy and exciting days since the election in 1944. We were fighting a terrible war then. We won that war for freedom, and we're now engaged in an even greater struggle, the struggle to preserve freedom and peace all over the world. Now, the principal objective of my administration as president has been to create worldwide conditions for a just and lasting peace. And my friends, I would much rather have peace in this world, a permanent peace in this world, than to be president of the United States or to hold any other office in the world. I've never turned from that objective. I never will stop working for peace. I've worked for peace because I know that peace is no idle dream. It's a real and living possibility. In our generation, mankind has taken some long steps toward this goal. 30 years ago, a great democratic president gave voice to the conscience of the world when he proposed the League of Nations. That president was that great Democrat Woodrow Wilson. Vicious partisan attacks kept the United States from joining the League. But Woodrow Wilson opened up a great vision for all those who have come after him. Because we did not live up to our God-given opportunity after World War I, the League of Nations failed to prevent the most tragic war in history, World War II. I sincerely hope that we have learned that lesson now. We have another chance. We have a chance this time to build an enduring peace. We have that chance because of the vision of another great Democratic president. Franklin Roosevelt's wisdom and foresight inspired the nations of the world to forge a new and stronger instrument to keep the peace, the Charter of the United Nations. Today, any nation that dares to contemplate aggressive war knows that it must face the collective judgment of the United Nations and the combined forces of many countries. We all know that we have a long way to go before the threat of war is finally lifted. The United Nations still lacks much of the power which it must have to do its work successfully. But we are working to get that power for the United Nations, and eventually we will get it. We're on our way, and please God, with courageous and sustained effort on the part of the free nations of the world, we can do more than merely avert war. We can preserve for our children and our grandchildren the liberty and freedom which we enjoy today. We must do more than just avert war. We must also preserve here in the United States the kind of life we believe in and want to keep. That's why I'm going to talk tonight about the attacks on our American democracy, which are going on right now inside this country. The American way of life, which most of us have been taking for granted, is threatened today by powerful forces of which most people are not even aware. Everybody knows about the contemptible communist majority. We all detest that communist minority. Everybody knows, too, about the crackpot forces on the extreme right. We will have a vociferous representative of that force here in Chicago. We're on our guard against them, however. The real danger to our democracy does not come only from these extremes. It comes mainly from the powerful reactionary forces which are silently undermining our democratic institutions. I'm going to tell you just what these forces are. We must not imagine just because we love freedom that freedom is safe. Our freedom is safe. Eternal vigilance is still the price of liberty. Other people have also loved freedom, but have lost their liberty with tragic suddenness. It happened in Italy 25 years ago. It happened in Germany 15 years ago. It happened in Czechoslovakia just a few months ago. And it could happen here. I know that it's hard for Americans to admit this danger. American democracy has very deep roots. But if the anti-democratic forces in this country continue to work unchecked, this nation could awaken a few years from now to find that the Bill of Rights had become a scrap of paper. My friends, that must never happen. Look back over history, and you'll find that wherever ruthless men have destroyed liberty and human rights, certain economic and social forces had paved the way for them. What are these forces that threaten our way of life? Who are the men behind them? They are the men who want to see inflation continue unchecked. They are the men who are striving to concentrate great economic power in their own hands. They are the men who are setting up and stirring up racial and religious prejudice against some of our fellow Americans. I propose to state in simple, unmistakable language just exactly how each of these three groups of men, working through the Republican Party, if you please, is a serious threat to the future welfare of this great nation. Let's take that first group, the men who want to see inflation continue unchecked. Believe it or not, there are such men. They know that inflation, since price controls were killed just over 2 years ago, has sent corporation profits soaring to the fantastic level of nearly $20 billion a year. They are so blinded by the glitter of gold that they forget that inflation, if not stopped, will bring on another terrible crash like the one in 1929. We were fortunate to be led from that depression to new prosperity by a great and true lover of democracy, Franklin Roosevelt. Now, this Republican Party is making soap bubble promises to behave better in the future. Those bubbles are pretty, those promises are fine, but they'll vanish at the first touch of reality. You can't expect the Republican Party suddenly to turn and bite the hand that's been feeding it, the hand of the special interests, the hand of big business. To preserve freedom and democracy in this country, we must put control of Congress back into the hands of the American people. Now, there's but one way to do that, and that's to elect a Democratic Congress. You've already got the Democratic president. Now, I must speak of the third evil force, which works secretly to destroy freedom, and that's racial and religious prejudice. The tragic story of what happened in Germany is all too fresh. We know how Hitler used anti-Semitic propaganda as a way of stupefying the German people with false ideas while he reached out for power. This was not the first time such a thing has happened. The persecution of minorities goes hand in hand with the destruction of liberty. This country has been mercifully spared extreme racial and religious strife. But in recent years, there has been a new outcropping of demagogues among us, dangerous men who are trying to win followers for their war on democracy, are attacking Catholics and Jews and Negroes and other minority races and religions. Some of these demagogues have even dared to raise their voices of religious prejudice in the 80th Congress. We need only remember the shocking Displaced Persons Bill passed in the second session of the 80th Congress, which cruelly discriminated against Catholics and Jews. We must do everything we can to protect our democratic principles against those who foment racial and religious prejudice. This evil force must be defeated. I shall continue the fight and I pledge to you that I shall never surrender. Racial and religious oppression, big business domination, inflation, these forces must be stopped and driven back while there's yet time. At any cost, we must prevent the threatened depression and the big business rule which would begin the destruction of our liberties. We must continue to fight to assure full human rights to all our citizens. Now, my friends, the Democratic Party is the only party which the people can rely on to serve these great ends. Republican leaders, of course, give lip service to the principles of democracy. But the Republicans preach one thing and practice another. The actions of the Republican 80th Congress opened the gate to forces that would destroy our democracy. The gate is open just a little bit right now. We need to slam that gate shut on November the 2nd with an overwhelming vote for the Democratic Party. Now, you people here in Chicago have a clear-cut example of the difference between the Democratic and Republican concepts of government. The whole country recognizes that the Democratic administration of Chicago is doing a grand job. It is providing first-rate local government. Now, the whole country knows also that the Republican administration of this state has been reactionary, feeble, and opposed to every forward piece of legislation. Such is the spirit behind government by Republicans in this great state. In that spirit, democracy can be destroyed and tyranny can be born. That's why I say to you that we are now engaged in one of the most important battles in our history. It is a crusade for the right, a crusade for the people against the special interests. I want you to join me in that crusade.